Welcome to KBIA's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Fumuliner. Coming up later in the show, hundreds of MU faculty members finally get a vote. But first, in the ongoing saga over the state providing federal investigators with a list of 163,000 concealed carry permit holders in the state, the fallout continues. Republican State Senator Kurt Schaefer of Columbia says Missouri's Division of Motor Vehicles will remain unfunded in proposals for next year's state budget unless the Nixon administration cooperates with his committee's investigation into the matter. The director of the Department of Revenue resigned just over a week ago amid the controversy over the closed records. Meantime, a Missouri House panel has endorsed legislation making it illegal to share the list of concealed weapons permit holders in the state. The bill, endorsed Monday by a House committee, would also free license office clerks from legal liability if they were sued for following department rules. Here's a thought, though. Even if that went into place, let's say the federal government did want to find out who has guns in Missouri. Under state law, the feds could still easily get a list of Missouri hunting permits, including personal identifying information on those permits. So that'd be a decent lead for the feds. And of course, there's a trove of other personal information that Missourians give to the government that can legally be used in a number of ways, by the government and the public. This week, we decided to look further into the state statutes that determine what personal information is public and shareable and what information isn't. KBIA's Alexandra Olgan has the story.
When Americans provide personal information to government agencies to get government-issued licenses, their information is made into a government record. Now, some of these government records are accessible to the public, while others are kept private to protect citizens' information. Voter registration information is available to the public in Missouri unless one requests to keep it private, but this varies state by state. Washington University professor of law Neil Richards says it is important to distinguish what we mean when we say public and private.
To say that something is a public record just means it is a record held by the government. So it's probably better to refer to them as government records rather than public records. Some public records can be public, and some public records can be private.
One example of a public government record that is private is the concealed carry permit holders in the state of Missouri. The Missouri Revised Statute states information regarding any holder of a concealed carry endorsement is a closed record, and any person who violates the provisions in this subsection by disclosing protected information shall be guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. Executive Director at the National Freedom of Information Coalition, Kenneth Bunting, says the federal government is able to override a state law about keeping a record private.
But the federal government, from time to time, particularly with regard to homeland security matters, have wanted to make sure that there's not a state law that's more liberal with regard to disclosure than they would be with regard to disclosure.
Government records that are not normally available to the public or other government agencies may be during an investigation. Bunting says the problem then becomes what constitutes a legitimate need by an investigator.
Privacy is a legitimate concern in this era where the swipe of a card can ruin your life. But at the same time, it should not be an excuse for making the government less efficient or making it less transparent.
In Missouri, non-personal information about driver's records is available to the public, but personal information on the license is closed to the public for safety reasons. Personal information on hunting licenses are closed to the public, but are available to law enforcement, courts, federal, and state departments. Bunting says the controversy over the list of released concealed carry permit holders is not about public records as much as it is about gun rights.
Or isn't it really that we're in the middle of a controversy over guns and suddenly, you know, everything gets overwrought?
Governor Jay Nixon announced the government will no longer scan or hold electronic copies of concealed carry permits because he says it is not essential to the integrity of the licensing process. Alexandra Olgan, KBIA News.
Last month, University of Missouri faculty voted to give non-tenure-track faculty members the right to vote at faculty council meetings and in campus-wide elections. At MU, over the past few years, there's been an increase in non-tenure-track faculty, or NTTs, while the percentage of tenure-track members has slowly declined. But that's not unique. The New York Times reports in the last few decades, colleges across the country have been hiring more NTTs. KBIA's Tony Nochum tells us more about the differences between NTTs and tenure-track teachers and this hiring change.
I said there's a shift in the Chekhovian universe.
Nicole Monnier is an associate teaching professor and director of undergraduate studies in Russian. Since coming to MU in 2000, the non-tenure track member has been teaching Russian literature classes. As a member of the faculty council, Monnier represents the non-tenure teachers. She helped get approval for allowing non-tenure faculty to vote on academic matters previously held solely for tenure members. Monier says over the last decade, there's been a change in the type of teachers at MU.
Well, there's been an enormous increase in the hiring of NTT faculty, in large part to respond to the exponential growth of the MU student body.
According to MU Institutional Research, in 2002, the non-tenure members made up less than one-fourth of the faculty on campus. They currently represent more than one-third of the MU teachers. But Deputy Provost Ken Dean says NTTs have less job security.
For a non-tenure track faculty member, you can get an appointment ranging from 1 year to 3 years. Almost all of them are on one-year contracts.
Dean says hiring those on tenure is different. They go through a probationary period of 6 years and then are considered tenured. From there, they're on continuous appointment, which runs for life unless the teacher breaks moral conduct codes. Dean says hiring NTTs also saves money for the school.
If you look at the non-tenure track in the traditional departments and colleges on campus, the teaching faculty tend to be paid less than the tenure track faculty.
But Dean says it's a unique situation for the 332 medical non-tenure members who generally have a higher salary than other MU teachers on tenure. Like in medicine, the journalism school is also different from other departments at MU because of the practical experience students get from working with faculty.
The plot is not at all an unfamiliar one.
With higher salaries and more job security, being on tenure may seem the way to go for a professor. But Nicole Monnier was actually a tenure track member before deciding to become an NTT. When she was on tenure, Monnier had to fulfill three required areas: teaching, research, and service. This means she had to spend 40% of her time teaching, another 40% doing research, and 20% in service. She says things have changed since being on non-tenure.
The NTTs typically fulfill one or two of the usual three parts of a tenure faculty member's responsibilities. Obviously, as a teaching faculty, research is not part of my official portfolio, whereas a research faculty member usually isn't doing any teaching.
This gives Monnier the opportunity to devote more time to help students in the areas she is better at, such as teaching instead of research. She says teachers on tenure don't have as much flexibility.
As a tenure track faculty member, you really have to fulfill these three lines. And if you're better at service or you're better at teaching, that really can't be taken into significant consideration for tenure.
According to MU Institutional Research, there are more than 1,200 tenure and 700 non-tenure faculty at the school. Tony Notram, KBAA News.
That's it for this week's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.